With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go! Hour number two of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday in the big city. Reminder, tomorrow we're going to be in Beaumont. So if you're in the 409, come on down. Check us out. We're going to have a good old time in Beaumont. Our final concert appearance in B-Town, Nicholas, in the 409. Your
concert?
Favorite. It's like, you want me to do the rocket, the...
No, I don't want you
the
to,
concert
no,
voice one
I
more time?
I don't want you to do that.
Live! One night only. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, it's the Usual Suspects in Beaumont. Their last fall-winter appearance. Come on out and see the guys and stay tuned for AJ, Fred, and the Blitz.
Not bad. Not bad at all, my friend.
There you have it. We're going to be in Beaumont tomorrow.
Beaumont.
I'm just creating it. Because you know what?
There was somebody that texted the show yesterday or the day before when you were mentioning you were calling it B-Town. Somebody's like, we don't call it B-Town. Stop saying that.
But yet we had 18 or 20 people that said we call it Big Money.
The Mont.
Stop it.
It's the Mont.
You know what it is?
No, from now on,
call it whatever you want. We know what you're talking about. As long as we know what you're talking about.
From now on, it's Beaumont.
I'm liking it. Yeah.
They're going to be so angry.
Look, Cream City.
Yeah, you do have that going for
do
you.
Do they really care if we call it Beaumont or B-Town or the Mont?
I think some people probably do, yeah.
I don't think
I'm sure some people actually get upset.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on.
Think about it. We're the Bayou City.
But you wanted to call it Big Money?
If someone called Houston Ditch City because instead of a bayou, they think it's a ditch. We'd all be upset about it. It's not Ditch City.
I'm going to tell you this right now.
It's the Bayou
City.
You call
it Ditch City, but if they use bitch, that's yours. You
yeah,
cannot
don't steal
don't
that from
steal
me.
That
don't,
bit.
I got that word.
Not going to fly
gonna,
around
I'm
here,
I'm
going to
be like Ohio State and go copyright that word. Like the?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go copyright it. I'm going to go do that.
A lot of Buckeye fans are complete. You never
One guy, Joel.
No, Lenny, too. Oh, Lenny's over the top Buckeye guy.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean...
And Donna, who we do love in the Beaumont area.
In Beaumont.
Yeah, she calls it the Mont.
Can we just, we'll call it bow tie.
The Mont.
The bow tie. The big bow tie. We're going to head out to the bow tie. I like this. This is evolving well. No
it
one's
really
upset.
Isn't.
No one's upset at all at any of this talk. So, good times.
Okay, great. So, we're going to be in Beaumont tomorrow. So, look forward to that. Come on out, see us. See Barry's golf swing. It's absolutely fantastic.
It's better than you think, but not as good as I want.
Is it?
Nope.
All right. Is it like the no-look hook shot?
No.
Okay.
It's not that bad, but it's close.
All right.
A couple of news and notes from the NCAA. Mike Leach signed an extension to remain at Washington State. And now that FAU has heard that Arkansas is throwing money at Lane Kiffin, they're like, uh-oh, we better throw money at Lane Kiffin. So they're opening up the checkbook for Lane as well. And they're offering him a raise in the middle of all this Arkansas rumor. So, by the way, okay, can we? Okay, that was just the tidbit. Oh, do you have something you want to add about? Because I want to talk about this LeBron thing with the shoes.
But here's the thing with the entire. It's the same thing we said with PJ Fleck. When you are riding high, the best thing you or your agent or someone that works with you can do is to make sure you capitalize on the situation you're in. Because no matter what the rumors say, there's a chance that they don't go with Leach or they go with Lane Kiffin. So the bottom line is get it while you can. And so the offers are there. We even, you know, when we were talking about PJ Fleck, and I said, look, he's undefeated right now, but he's got Ohio State. He's got Iowa. He's got Wisconsin. Toughest part of his schedule is coming up. You got to cash in now, regardless of whether Florida State or USC or anybody else comes calling or not, because If you lose a couple of games, you're not going to be the hot commodity anymore. And or you got to strike while the iron's hot. So that's what I think. In both cases, those guys did the right thing and said, hey, whether I decide or want to leave or get these offers or not, I'm going to cash in so that if I stay, I still am making more money. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now you want to get to Sox Gate?
Yeah, I want to get to this LeBron thing. I was just
there's two different things bringing with LeBron those up. Last night.
Yeah, the travel and then the shoes.
Yep.
And the first one was the shoes because the Jazz announcers called him out. If you don't know what happened last night, Lakers up big, 8 minutes to go in the game. LeBron gets sent to the bench. They're done. They're going to win the game. He gets the rest.
The Rockets thought in San Antonio.
He gets the rest of the night off, right? And so he takes his shoes off. These little kids come down from the stands. They're in Utah, mind you. So they're on the road. This isn't in L.A. He's doing
this. Oh, no, they're not on the road. They're in hell.
Right, but they're not in L.A. They're in Utah. And so, you know, this is a visiting team superstar who takes the time. Yes, it's in the middle of the game, but he's not going back in. He takes his shoes off, and he signs a shoe for this little boy, and he signs a shoe for this little girl. He gives them the shoes. They go back up in the stands. 8 minutes to go. At one point, something big happens for the Lakers. I don't remember what it was, but they're all celebrating, and LeBron's out there celebrating, jumping around.
Anthony Davis, somebody did something, yeah.
But he didn't have his shoes on because he just gave them to two little kids, two little fans. He just autographed them for free and gives them his game-used shoes. So he's out there in his socks. And then instead of, like, praising him for being very gracious to the fans of Utah, whether they're L.A. fans or not, they're in Utah. They're Utah citizens, right?
Mm-hmm.
But rather than that, they said it was a sign of disrespect for him to be out there celebrating in his socks. My favorite part of this, though, is LeBron's response on Instagram. And it's a little long, but I think it's worth reading because the message that he has is outstanding. It says, imagine doing your job at the highest level to where you're not needed anymore, giving your shoes to a little girl and boy who you inspire and hoped you made proud that night, then cheering on your teammates because you love seeing them succeed more than yourself, only to be criticized while doing it. People, it's the world we live in, and you can't let it ever stop you from your purpose in life. Negativity, bad energy, hate, envy, etc. will try to bring you down throughout your journey, and it's up to you how you handle it. I handle it by simply saying thank you with a smile on my face. Continue to push forward while doing it. Live, laugh, love.
Can you just quote tweet that and send it to the guy that was
to hating on
to
you?
Both guys that were hating on us last night?
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, the point that he's making is really valid.
And if you
rather
saw
than
what
focusing
he did,
on, look at that. He's just how nice
it
was
like
that?
It was like a slide. He was on the court celebrating so hard. He took a running start going back to the bench and slid, and he had socks on because people were like, you know, looking at his feet because they didn't realize he gave the shoes away. And if he had tennis shoes on, you couldn't do that. And he slid all the way back towards the bench. And people lost their minds. You're right. The Jazz announcers brought it up too. But the fact of the matter is, unless you're the Rockets and you're going to pee away a lead against the Spurs, you know, in that point,
he's got
in the
more
game,
shoes in the locker room if he needs to go back
absolutely,
in.
Absolutely. Because they're on the road.
It's not a big deal. Yeah.
And I've told you guys in the past about how, you know, Tony with the Rockets, every team does it. They have this storage suitcase full of shoes for all their players because some guys like P.J. Tucker want to change shoes every quarter.
Yeah.
Some guys just need a new pair, and based on when they want them, he's got them. So yeah, it wouldn't have been that big of a deal, but the fact that you're making it a deal, calling him out on it, and then, like you said, taking which was a very kind gesture, because a lot of guys, look, I hate to break it to you, for every guy that, with the popularity and the success that LeBron has had, for every guy that is what how he handles it, There are a select few that are going to handle it the exact opposite way. They just hide it real good.
Yeah.
And you should praise guys that do stuff like that.
Yeah,
I'm sorry they're waxing your team, right? But you don't have to do all that.
No, and I just, to me, I loved, because the first thing I saw about LeBron James in the game was the fact that he had autographed his sneakers for those kids. Yeah. And I thought, how cool is that? The greatest basketball player on the planet. In a rival team's gym, is giving his sneakers to those kids. Which again, you put yourself in that little boy, that little girl's place when if you're 7, 8 years old, and back in the day, a Michael Jordan autographed a Jordan and gave it to you. Oh my goodness, that could have a lasting impact on those kids, and we should be praising him for doing that. And instead, he's getting crapped on because he's in his socks. Because he did that.
And don't sell Russell Westbrook short either. Russell Westbrook started doing this on a regular basis last season in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. And he would find kids that were had his jersey on, or especially because they're on the road,
yeah,
that were still willing to support their the Thunder at that. And he does it with the Rockets now. And he makes sure that they get it. And also, kudos to LeBron, because most of the kids, and believe me, I've seen this, they're not grateful enough if they get one shoe. They're like, what, I don't get both of them?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he split them up to take care of two different kids, he signed both shoes,
yep,
and he made both of their evenings. I just think that was fantastic.
Didn't make a big deal out of it. He just signed them, gave them. He wasn't, you could, you know, because sometimes you'll tell when guys will try to make a big deal out of it. And nah, he just signed them, handed them off. There you go. No big deal.
Oh, the other thing he did last night, too, if you haven't seen it, you got to find it and see it. And I'll retweet it. But he traveled so blatantly last night that Bogdanovich and everybody was like, I thought Eric Bledsoe's travel, which they ended up calling late in that Clipper game, was the worst travel of the season. No, this takes the cake. He had to, they asked him about it in the post game, and he's like, yeah, I got to apologize to the officials right now because they're going to take a lot of heat for not calling that on me. He goes, I just completely blacked out, lost my mind. He's like, I didn't even think about it until afterwards. But literally, if you see it, he crosses half court. Bogdanovich is on him towards the top of the 3-point circle. And he's literally like calling out a play, and he just stops and basically puts his hand under the ball and takes about 2.5, 3.5 steps like he's slow dancing, and then decides to start dribbling again. And the ref was looking the other way. All three refs, none of them saw it. And then on top of it, the Lakers scored, I think it was a 3 at the time. And that's what I thought Jazz announcers and everybody else was going to lose their mind on.
Yeah.
But it was pretty bad. Yeah.
Pretty egregious.
It was really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll retweet it at Pac-Man.
I mean, it wasn't missed a dunk bad.
No.
But it was bad.
Yeah.
Did they win by more than 3?
They didn't file a protest either.
Yeah, because they won by more than 3. Doesn't matter.
Well, let's just go back and regurgitate old wounds, shall we? Okay. Well, hey, guess what? We're going to keep moving forward as a show. Before we go to the break, I'm going to tell you about Infuse Energy, because I'm telling you, Josh Pesikoff and his staff do a fantastic job. They're locally owned and operated, and their sole purpose is to make sure that you get the best rate and the best deal you possibly can on your energy usage. Whether you do it for your business or your personal family use, they're going to take care of you, and they're always going to be 100% honest. There are going to be times that there is competition out there that can beat their prices. They're going to let you know, because they want to make sure that, like a trusted friend, maybe you don't go with them this time, but you'll come back to them because you weren't trying to pull their wool over their eyes. You were trying to make a better deal. That's what they do at Infuse Energy. Check them out, infuseenergy.com. Better yet, call them 844-INFUSE2. 844-463-8732. Mention ESPN 97.5 right off the top. You get a $25 bill credit on your first bill, and you go from there. I switched 3 years ago, and I just re-upped because of the fact that they have saved me thousands off of my bills with my previous energy provider. 5 out of 5 star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. It's the best you can get. Believe me when I tell you, people, it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. 100% green energy at your fingertips. Do yourself a favor. Infuse energy into your life.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, it's playoff time in fantasy football. Therefore, we're going to take care of you like we always do, fantasy football experts or novices. You need help in the playoffs, Sigmund Bloom's your guy. We bring him to you every Thursday at 2:30. That means he's coming up. So as I've told you in the past, we will tell you again, leading out of this segment, as we go to commercial break, start calling, because we take calls first. And we're going to get through all the calls before we do any tweets or texts. And Sigmund is going to do everything in his power to answer and be there for you in your playoff situations for fantasy football. So, as Barry would say, do it.
I don't say it like that. Go do it.
Bitch.
Do it. Bitch. Do it.
Suck it.
I have people private messaging me.
Dirty?
Like, no, just saying like, oh, LeBron's on the court celebrating. So he gave his shoes away. He should have stayed on the side. I'm like, why does it matter? What did it hurt? Who did it hurt? Nobody.
This is just like everything else. We live in a world now where people don't sit there and worry about the real issues in their life.
I'm literally watching the celebration, and there are other Lakers around him also celebrating. Are you mad because he's in his socks? Because we already established why he was in his socks. He did a good deed for two young kids that are basketball fans and LeBron James fans. So is it that he's celebrating on the court? Because there's four other Lakers. Let's pick on all of them. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
And by the way, in case you missed it, the Lakers are really good.
Yeah. I mean, that dude could have been barefoot and doing handstands for all I care. You don't want them celebrating on the court? Don't let them win.
Their supporting cast, they went from the biggest bunch of misfits.
They went from like five guys on the roster with no, remember that? At one point, they had like six people on their entire roster.
And then you got to really question what kind of guys you got, because you were putting Rondo with Lance Stevenson, with JaVale McGee, with all the different guys they brought in last year alone. And now you're looking at a tight-knit, solid, veteran-laden group that features Danny Green and Rondo and all the different guys that they brought in to complement their two best players and Kuzma and all these different guys. It's like, you know what? It's like I was talking about the other day. The two LA teams' depth and their rotation, really, really good.
They've been the favorites since the final rosters for everybody's team shook out right when the season started.
I think they're a co-favorite. I think Lakers and Clippers are on the same level.
No, they've both been the those two teams have been favorites.
Yeah.
To win it all.
And look, again, I'm not saying this to piss Rocket fans off, and I have no
axe
to grind
at
all.
Bitch ass.
But
I'm gonna hunt you down.
The fact of the matter is, you may have, and you do have two former MVP superstar candidates. The supporting cast you got around them and the bench that you have right now isn't capable of putting you in the same league as those two teams. It's just not.
The one thing that I don't think you take into account is that the rotation.
Reality? Who's the best player for the Rockets coming off the bench?
Let me finish my previous statement.
Please continue.
The one thing that you always bring up is what does it look like in the playoffs, right? Like, how is a team built in the playoffs? How do they perform in the playoffs?
Sure.
Well, the other thing you got to remember is that rotations get shortened in the playoffs. So you don't need to be 12 deep in the playoffs. You need to be 670. D'Antoni is
talking about those 7 or 8 guys. I would take the 7 or 8 guys on either LA team. And I would say they're both head and shoulders above anybody. If you're going to tell me, I'm fired up now. If you tell me that Daniel House and Ben McLemore are going to be in your rotation for the playoffs, I'm going to tell you that's not going to be good enough to get it done.
I'm just saying your first option off the bench.
They may start too, by the way.
Who?
Ben McLemore, Daniel House.
No, I think the Rockets make another move. I think they get a Kenneth Faried type on this team. To give them energy off the bench, whether it's through a trade or whatever, but I think that they'll make a move. I mean, Daryl Morey never sits pat, right? He never just sits on his hands and says, "Well, this is who we're rolling with." So he's going to make a move. There's going to be somebody on this team, and if Eric Gordon is your first option off the bench, you could do a lot worse.
I said,
and if they go 7 deep, you only need one more. So that was answering your question,
Nick. Please.
What? That was just answering your question.
I was just looking at your face.
I don't know why you're so angry. We're just having a conversation. Why are the lips smacking?
Ben McLemore.
What do you mean, you people?
You frustrated. You and Nick.
House and McLemore for sure. Like, I would agree with that sentiment that if that's
Austin Rivers is your best player.
That's who's your main part of your rotation in terms of their bench, that's scary. Because there's the different benches that you see around the league has already shown that they can perform better. They've already shown that in 20 games.
And we're talking about rotation and bench. Let's just talk about that. Some of these guys are starters. The starting five on both LA teams trumps the starting five in Houston, no matter which way you try and mix it up.
You're trying to tell me Austin Rivers as your first option off the bench?
This is a guy that was despised by this entire fan base for years.
But
and now
really
you're
along.
Going to count
really
on him
has?
To be your savior off the bench.
He's not as bad as I think you're making it sound like that they're just that you and I are taking off warm-ups and running out there.
At least I got a shot.
Oh, I'll get after it on defense now. I would use them 6 fouls in a quickness.
In a minute, you're right. You'd be fouled out in 60 seconds. Gone in 60 seconds? It's going to be recreated.
I'll go Russell Westbrook on their ass and foul out quick.
Stand around and watch James Harden, you mean?
That's right.
Okay.
But, Yeah, I mean, look, you could do a lot worse than Eric Gordon and Austin Rivers coming off
Eric
the bench.
Eric Gordon coming off the bench
Tyson Chandler
would be fantastic.
Tyson Chandler,
Eric Gordon,
you could do a lot worse.
To be a starter creates more problems for your second unit. Right?
Yeah.
You're going to go with a sex joke on me when all I'm doing is talking about the fact that, look, in L.A., you could go Montrezl Harrell, you could go Pat Beverly, you could go Lou Williams. Well, you can do Williams all these different guys and say whether they're rotational or they're your third best player. That's better than everybody that the Rockets put up there in terms of their counterpoints.
Yeah.
So from a depth perspective, perspective, I think now, and I don't disagree with you. I think Daryl, who always does try and make a move or two and strengthen his team. But here's the thing, that buyout contract that comes and wants to play for Houston every year, it's a pretty risky scenario when you're rolling the dice every year, hoping that the next guy down the line is not only a good player, but a guy that fits your system and wants to pick you.
Yeah. Well, so let's assume that they get Iguodala.
Well, Iguodala's the only guy.
But let's assume if they get Iguodala, are they deep enough now?
No.
You don't think so?
They're deeper. I don't think they're deep enough.
Because he starts, right? And then Gordon is your first option off the bench?
I would agree that he would start.
So he would start. Gordon would be your first option off the bench, and Austin Rivers would be your second.
Now I'm feeling better.
Tyson Chandler would be your backup for Capella.
I'm feeling great about that.
I mean, it's not bad.
Okay. But it's not the Clippers or the Lakers.
It's a lot more depth than they had with Clint Capella last year.
Your Tyson Chandler is matched by Dwight Howard off the bench.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Your Tyson Chandler is matched by Montrezl Harrell.
Now that worries me a little bit.
It should, more than a little bit. It really should.
Dwight Howard doesn't. I mean, I think.
Have you seen his numbers this year? He's the most efficient player in the league.
So is Carmelo Anthony. You think that they're both going to maintain that throughout the whole
year?
Dwight
is the most efficient player in the league
right now.
You
think that him and Carmelo Anthony both maintain what they're doing for the whole year?
I think Dwight does. I don't know that Carmelo does.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
Nick?
I would agree Dwight does. I don't know. Carmelo definitely won't.
Okay. I like that he goes to you to support his position.
My voice of reason.
No,
I need.
It's when we disagree. Nick, you chime in.
There's plenty of times he agrees with you on non-sports things.
I love that.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying. So there's plenty to discuss there. And we're not, look, it's just opinions, people. Don't lose your mind and make
that.
Yeah,
don't get upset.
Okay? There's no need to do all that. As we continue to roll on, we're almost done with the first half of the show, which means we got 90 minutes still to go. And there's plenty more to get to. And we want to remind you that Sigmund Bloom, again, is coming up at 2:30. So now would be the time to call. Start calling right now. If you're in the playoffs and you need some help, you want some expertise, Sigmund is here for you. We take calls first, then texts and tweets. And we're going to start it at 2:30. So get your fingers a dialing now. And we're going to do whatever we can to save your season.
Hey, guys, get upside. If you're not using it, you need to be on it right now. Go download it. Put it on your phone. It's in the iTunes and the Google Play Store. Completely free to install. There's no catch. There's no gimmicks. You're not locked into anything long term. And when you sign up, make sure you put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra cash back on your first fill up through the app. And the way that the app works is real simple. So if you want to put gas in your car, you want to put food in your tummy, you pull out the Get Upside app, you pull up the map, and you find an offer in your area. So let's say it's for gas. You could be getting up to 25 cents a gallon cash back every time you use the app. So like in my area the other day, there was like 12 cents and 7 cents and 10 cents. But that's going to go up. That's going to go down. It's going to vary. But heck, if you're putting, 15 gallons and you're getting like $1.50 or $2 back, if somebody walked up to you while you're pumping gas and said, hey, here's $2 in your pocket, and they did that every time, you'd be ecstatic about that, wouldn't you? That's what GetUpside does for you. And the same is true for your food. If you're out there and you're using GetUpside to go buy lunch or dinner or even breakfast now that Dunkin' Donuts is in the app, you could be getting up to 35% cash back. And I see 20 to 25 all the time. And all you need to do is 4 or 5 times in a week get that back, and you're getting a free meal. So do yourself a favor right now. Keep your money in your pocket. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Thank me later.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you know what time it is. It's not only 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show, even though Rico loves it when I say it a different way. It is time on a Thursday for our favorite friend, our fantasy football expert, Sigmund Bloom. And with fantasy football playoffs upon us, there is no time like the present to make sure you capitalize on one Sigmund Bloom, because it is the difference between cashing in and checking out in your playoffs. Sigmund, always appreciate you. They better appreciate you, especially this week. How are you, my friend?
Good. It is the difference between blaming yourself or having someone else to blame when things go so very wrong for your fantasy football team.
Well said, sir. Well said. Yeah. Yes. Presented in a way that hopefully they can not only understand, but they can digest.
Yes.
All right. With that being said, we've got tons of people that are lined up. Lots of questions, and you have the answers, but anything people should know and key tidbits for the week?
Oh, geez. James Conner's not going to play, so you can still use one Benny Snell. We're also looking at Juju Smith-Schuster's probably not going to play. James Washington is still looking good out in Arizona. Marlon Mack should be back this week. Austin Hooper should be back this week. There's going to be injury situations. We're watching Dalvin Cook. That whole situation is still very cloudy, although he insists that he's going to play. It doesn't look like we're going to see Adam Thielen. All these things you need to tune in. Look, if your fantasy team's still alive, I'm sure you'll be overanalyzing and changing your mind 17 times before Sunday.
A couple of tight ends that could have pretty significant impacts on teams, and Kittle and Hooper. And they're both questionable. I mean, do you trust these guys if they end up playing? Because that's the issue with injuries at this point. You kind of have to know which ones are just questionable and they're going to be okay if they play, and which ones might actually end up hurting you because the injury is more significant than we think.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we're looking for is just the most recent data. In the case of Kittle and Ertz, who, he may be questionable too this week on Monday night, we've seen them play through their injuries and at least play well enough, if not play extremely well. Hooper, he's practiced since Monday, so that tells me that he's probably ready to go. I have him as my ninth tight end. Same thing with Evan Engram. He might return on Monday night. You might not wait around for him if he's a game-time decision, because you don't have another option except for Caden Smith, the rookie, or maybe Dallas Goedert, if you're lucky, if he's out there. So I have Engram 10th. So, these are viable options, the new tight ends back from injury, but not necessarily automatic.
All right, so we got a full board, and I did want to ask you about playoff strategy, so if we get a lull in there, we'll talk about that as well. But let's go ahead and hit the board. Zach, you're up first. Go ahead, Zach. What's your question for Sigmund Bloom?
Yes, sir. Got Dallas Goedert or Evan Engram?
Yeah, wow. I have just a very slight edge to Goddard here, just because I'm not sure how much Engram will play and how he'll look coming back from an injury.
All right, up next, Jose. You're on with Sigmund Bloom. What's your question?
Hey, how you doing? I got the first round bye, and I have picked up Juju. Would you start him next week if he's healthy?
Yeah. I think Juju Smith-Schuster, T.Y. Hilton, these are guys that I'm not going to trust them in the first week back, which means I'm probably not going to play them this year. I understand if Juju says he hopes he can get back by the end of the year, I would probably drop him for someone that might help your team.
All right, Raul, you are up next. Go ahead, Raul.
Yeah, I got Drew Brees or Tom Brady. And on the flex position, Gallup or Duke Johnson?
I like Gallup tonight, getting one of the lesser corners for the Bears. Prince Amukamara, the number two corner, is going to be out. I like Tom Brady. I think he's going to have to pass a lot to keep up with Patrick Mahomes on Sunday.
713-780-3776. If you have questions for Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com, you can go ahead and call in. We always take calls first, but you can text that as well. 713-780-ESPN is the number. Adam is up next on the phone line. Adam, go ahead.
Do I risk waiting for Engram on Monday night, or do I play Witten tonight?
Yeah. I mean, Witten isn't exciting, but there's always that chance that you might not get Engram. But I would probably wait around for Engram because, hey, it's Eli Manning, and who doesn't want a piece of that?
All right, AG, you are up next on the phone line. Go ahead, my friend.
Two questions. Kyler Murray, Drew Brees, and Michael Gallup or Calvin Ridley?
Ridley's got to be in. He's red hot right now. I'm not going with Murray against the Steelers, not the way he played last week. So I'll go with Brees.
All right, Sigmund, as we let the phone board fill back up again, talk real quick about playoffs. And, are there any strategies that you can generally employ in the playoffs to kind of give you a leg up on the competition?
Well, and make sure that your bench has your key positions reinforced, especially holding those backup running backs. I think when you set your lineup, just don't overthink it. Don't worry. Don't put as much weight in the matchup. Don't put a bet on trends to reverse at this point in the season. You know what got you this far. So, you know, keeping it simple sometimes is best.
There you go. All right, Don is up next on the phone line with Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com. Don, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I got Drew Brees or Lamar Jackson. I know it's crazy, but Drew Brees or Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, well, the only thing that's crazy is putting Lamar Jackson on the bench. he's the most valuable player in fantasy football this year. Here, Christian McCaffrey.
Do not bench him. All right, Kevin's up next. Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, Sigmund. I got a really weird question. I have Josh Allen or Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No, that's not weird. Fitzpatrick and the Dolphins scored 5 touchdowns on 5 drives and last week and for one stretch. You know, that being said, I can't put Allen on the bench right now. He's playing too well. But I think Fitzpatrick, for a lot of people out there, if you're thinking it's crazy to play him with your season on the line, I don't think so.
There you go. James is up next. James, go ahead.
I got Devin Singletary or LeSean McCoy.
Ooh. McCoy's going to get like 12 to 15 touches, but not more. But that's still valuable in Kansas City's offense. Although Singletary's a little hotter coming in. I'll give Singletary the edge, but I think McCoy can still be useful.
All right, we're running out of time. We've got a full board, so let's get through these. Just ask your all question right. And make it quick. Mike, go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Sigmund. I got a flex. Guy Sanders. Or James White.
Yeah, I'm going to put White in just because I think that they're going to need him a lot against Kansas City. Mm.
All right, just skip the pleasantries, guys. Just ask your question. Omar, you're up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, and Allen Robinson of the Bears. Who do you like?
I'll take Ridley out of those three. Jones is banged up, and Robinson, you got to depend on Trubisky.
Down the stretch we go. Corey. Go ahead, Corey.
I got Gallup, Thielen, and Michelle. I need to start, too.
Thielen's not going to play. I don't think so. So I think that makes your choice for you with Gallup and Michelle.
Pretty simple. Ben, you are up next, my friend. Go ahead, Ben.
Kyler Murray or Sam Darnold?
Ugh. Hold your nose and pray and put in Darnold.
Oh, God. Joseph, you're up next. Go ahead, Joseph.
DK Metcalf or Will Fuller?
Will Fuller. Great matchup against the lesser Denver corners. He could have a big game.
All right. Mark, you are up next, Mark.
Amari Cooper or DJ Chark?
Ugh, I don't want to say Chark, but Cooper's the right call here. He's the safe play. I hope Gardner Minshew being back helps Chark, though.
And last two, Reggie. Go ahead, Reggie. All right, Reggie again. 2-1. Sorry, Reggie. All right, Rylan, go ahead.
Breeze.
Do it again, Rylan. We had you potted down. Go ahead. Do it again.
Brady or Breeze?
Brady, I think he's just going to have to pass more than Breeze will against San Francisco.
That's it. We've cleared the board. Sigmund, well done, my friend. Any last bit of advice, anything you're seeing out there that you want to let the peeps know?
Yeah, just nothing in particular except just trust yourself. If you're still caring about fantasy football in December and you're excited to set your lineup, then just trust your instincts. Trust what got you this far. And I'm always happy to be a second opinion. I'll try to answer questions at the Football Guys message board until game time on Sunday.
Yeah, so you got the Football Guys message board. How else can they get in touch with you? You have Twitter, and then you also have the Lineup Dominator app,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, in the Lineup Dominator, you can use our numbers to help you make your lineup decisions, like having us advising you, basically, as you set your lineup.
There it is. Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com. I'll get it. Appreciate you, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
There you have it. Sigmund Bloom, we don't lie when we tell you these things. He is the expert. Barry will tell you.
Best from in the biz.
Everything. Not just talking to him on the phone or tweeting him, but, you know, the what is it, the Dominator app?
Yeah, the Lineup Dominator. I still use that. I've been using it all year. That's why I'm doing well in both leagues. I use their draft app and now their Lineup Dominator app. So it's been helping.
Sigmund essentially ran Nick's team this year. So the fact of the matter is you guys are both playoff bound and I'm sitting at home. Next year, I'm going to have to tap into the resource that is Sigmund Bloom. Okay, so there's our fantasy football segment. We're going to continue to roll on hour number two of the show. Still have another hour after that to go. So if you want to join us, the phone line's now open after fantasy football questions. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call that number, text that number, or of course, as always, hit us on Twitter. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, wrapping up hour number two, 3 hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio today at Gal Media in the Galleria as we continue to roll through a very participatory and spirited show. We're going to have Sarah Barshop at 3:30, our Texans beat writer for ESPN. So that's going to be great. So we're going to get some information and insight. Much like Sigmund said, matchup could be very, very advantageous for Will Fuller this weekend. Kareem Jackson will be on the field with his former team.
Yes.
Deshaun Watson said he's going to talk some mess to him.
Oh.
But it's all in fun. So that'll be interesting to see. So we'll have that look forward to at 3:30 as we get some hopefully some insight and some information from her leading up to a game where you hope the Texans aren't looking past that game, because as big as the Patriots game was and as big as the Tennessee game is next week, you can't afford to slip up and lose a game you're supposed to win against a depleted Bronco team starting a rookie quarterback.
That's a really good point. So, yeah, you don't – this is a – what do they call it? A trap game, right?
Yes.
Like, yeah. You know, Denver has shown a few flashes here and there, and they love this new young quarterback, and he's got ways to go. Yeah, mm-hmm. But yeah, this is a team that's what, won 4 games all year. You can't mess around and lose to them.
Is it not a prerequisite to, if you're a quarterback and you were a quarterback at any time, like even in college, that your chick is hot?
You feel like it is.
You
right?
do. I mean, I was watching the Red Zone channel. And, you know, Locke gets his first win. It's a big deal. But they kept, as they do with Gardner Minshew, only evidently he doesn't have a chick because it's always his mom and dad in the stands. Mm-hmm. They went and showed Locke had his entire entourage.
Girlfriend?
Good
or wife?
Lord, yes.
I feel like once you're like, the problem with quarterbacks, like, see, think about this now. This is Tom Brady is married.
Giselle, I started watching that show last night. Have you seen this?
No.
On E! There is it's called The Room with Tom Brady.
Okay. And is it supposed to be like the barbershop with
evidently, James, but it's LeBron a guy James. That's been at E! Forever, and he just kind of asks like personal and off the field and gets a whole bunch of background on Tom Brady. But yeah, I started watching that last night, and there was a whole lot of Giselle.
So the theory would be, it's not like I put a lot of effort into that. I just literally thought of this when you said it, but it makes sense. Tom Brady, married to Giselle. Tom Brady's been at the top of his game forever. Maybe what happens to some of these quarterbacks that fall off is that their wives, their girlfriends slowly just get ugly. And then that's when it's like, well, that's kind of like your their wife or girlfriend, their looks coincide with their
field
career.
Performance.
Yeah. Yeah, their career. That's why you always see like the cool quarterbacks and the guys that are taking the league by storm have the hot girlfriends. Then eventually, you know, maybe the girl gets ugly or leaves him, and then his career goes in the toilet.
I mean, Russell Wilson was married when he came in the league to someone else. Now he's got Sierra.
I mean, you know, and he's the leader in the clubhouse for the MVP right now.
I mean, wasn't it Lane?
Not Lamar Jackson is, but that doesn't help the theory.
Still a solid upgrade.
Yeah, that's true.
Wasn't it Lane Kiffin, though, who hired coaches based on how hot their wives were? Because it was like a statement of confidence, basically.
That's a smart man.
So I mean, you think about A.J. McCarron, Brent Musburger's favorite.
Yeah.
What was her name, Catherine?
Yeah, he's still
they're married now, yeah. And
Aaron is a
agent McCarron's coming up with plays to Deshaun Watson
for Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, maybe that's the key to being a good quarterback. You don't need to go to Sean Salisbury's quarterback camp. You just need to date a hot chick, and you're instantly a good quarterback.
The coaches know,
huh?
Coaches know you got game. You can play.
That's right.
If you get a hot chick, forget about whether you can throw the deep out or not, or the crossing routes,
deep balls.
Hot chick, there you go. Well, then you go and do that. I get heat for that, and you've done it all day today.
I haven't. What are you talking about?
Oh, boy.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Cowboys Bears tonight, you guys watching?
I don't know. I'm
all
torn.
Over it.
Okay.
No, not really.
I'm torn.
One guy
between
at a time,
this,
please.
I'm torn between this Rockets game and this football game. I'm not so sure that I'm really interested in Cowboys Bears as much as I am Raptors Rockets.
There's a lot of playoff implications on the line in both cases. With the Cowboys, they're trying to stay ahead of the Eagles, And it is a, you know, as we've said, if you don't win that division, you're not in. So they need to save their season, save Jason Garrett's job, all these other things, all of the above. Bears hanging on by a thread.
Bears are done.
I already think they are, too.
They're not in it.
And the Raptors are? The Raptors are not in
it? Raptors are damn good. And they're playing without Lowry. They've been playing without Lowry and Ibaka. And yet they can Siakam's just taking it to another level. So does Van Vliet. They've been playing their asses off.
Yeah.
The good news about it, if you're a Rockets fan, is, and I know, believe me, I know there's plenty of you out there, you're not playing them on a Saturday or Sunday at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Because you always crap the bed in Toronto because you always get the, believe me, I've been there, you get the weekend 11 a.m. start, which you're already not used to the time change of an hour, but then you're playing it like mid-morning and you just completely don't show.
Yeah.
It's kind of like going to Miami and having a weekend night off the night before. Don't go to Toronto and play a weekend day game. So at least tonight, it's the middle of the schedule, it's the middle of a road trip, and you can get it at a decent time.
And they're, like you said, they're playing their butts off. Second in plus-minus differential in the East. Scoring 113, only giving up 105 a game. So they get after it on both ends of the floor. And you feel like they're kind of doing it with smoke and mirrors, right?
It's Lowry's like, been out. He's not going to play tonight. Yeah. Ibaka's possible as he's started to get back on the court again. But like I said, and I know he's already been there, done that, but Siakam is a guy that could get most improved player after he played his tail off last year. But with those guys out, he's been averaging like 20 since they've been out. He's been averaging like 25 plus. He's had a couple of 30 plus games. He's a hell of a player.
Still rebounds. I think he leads them in rebounding, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're probably right.
Points and rebounds. Yep. Yeah.
And Marc Gasol is now wanting to shoot threes. He's not going to go in there and mix it up like he once did. Yeah. And he's slower than you can time him with a calendar, not a stopwatch. That's how slow he is. But yeah, I mean, Siakam's a hell of a player. And so, you know, they signed Lowry to a 1-year extension. But look, and the other thing is, don't be surprised if DeMar DeRozan, they don't bring him back after this year.
You think so?
Yeah, I think that with Kawhi leaving, they're going to have money after Marc Gasol's, this is the last year of his deal. I believe this is the last year of Ibaka's deal. But with money to play with, they know if they're going to keep Kyle for any time at all. There was that bitter divorce when they traded DeMar to get Kawhi. I could see them going, well, there's not a whole lot out there. We got money to spend.
But you know you're not winning anything. I mean, you look at, you got rid of him.
Let me tell you something.
To bring in Kawhi
wait,
won a championship. The difference was Kawhi. But over DeRozan.
Fine. But Barry, you've now done what you were supposed to do. You've brought the first ever title to Canada, right? But then you start going back going, now what we want to do is at least we want to win. Even if it's just in the regular season, then we'll take our chances in the playoffs. You forget it got Dwayne Casey coach of the year.
And fired.
Right, because they didn't win a championship. But now that they've won a championship, their priorities might be different. And from a general manager standpoint and everybody else, it's kind of the Bill O'Brien theory. If I just win the division and I get in the playoffs and I got an exciting, fun team to watch and we got a shot, I save my job, we look good, the fans have fun. So you bring DeRozan back to play with Lowry until you get to a situation where you either need money and or you want to start rebuilding, and you keep them relevant.
You bring DeRozan back to play with Lowry, or you bring DeRozan back to play with Siakam? Because
Siakam's already locked up. He's going to be
there.
But
that's what I'm saying. He's the clear-cut star of that team.
But the last time, even when they were good, you didn't have Siakam at this level. So if you have three players like Siakam, DeRozan, and Lowry, you could do a lot worse.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, that would seem weird to me. That would seem weird to me to bring him back when you know you couldn't win.
And Van Vliet and some of the other young guys that they got. Look, that cupboard isn't bare in Toronto.
That's why they're just Kawhi left. That's why they're where they're at. I think they're third in the East right now.
Yeah.
And that's why, because they do have depth. They got guys that can play. I don't even know if that fan base would want to have DeMar DeRozan back.
Oh, they loved him there. They absolutely adored him there. And that's why I think, again,
I saw people on Twitter just like, thank God he's gone.
No. I saw so much love for that guy.
Really?
And again, and then internally, because there was so much bad blood and bad publicity because of the fact that they were willing to trade a guy that was Kyle's best friend and a fan favorite. Bring him back, save face, get a lot of good pub, maybe win some games.
Okay.
I think San Antonio's going to start clearing house of their veterans.
They're going to have to.
Look, I like their young players.
So you think they trade back for him again?
No, I don't. When he's available, they can sign him because they'll have money. But I could see DeRozan going. I could see LaMarcus Aldridge going. I could see Patty Mills possibly going because those young kids that they got can play. And even Forbes has got some ability, but they've drafted well. They got those sleeper picks the Spurs find that no one else really uncovers like that. And it may be with Popovich and everybody else, they start rebuilding a little bit.
I could see that for sure. I mean, at some point, the Spurs are going to have to do that.
Right. I mean, it used to be the Spurs would just, all they have to do is get in, and then they could kill you in the playoffs. This year, they don't have the kind of talent needed to compete to try and just get in and then sneak a series or two out because there's so much talent in the West. They're probably not even going to make the playoffs.
But if you're DeMar DeRozan, so I was looking up his contract when we were talking. He's got a player option for 2021.
For how much?
$27 million.
The way contracts are in the NBA these days, he could make more than that. Kyle Lowry's making $33 million a year.
Yeah, does Toronto have the room?
I believe they do. Because they lose Gasol at 20-some mil after this year. So that in itself gives you almost, you're almost there.
I'm going to look it up. Yeah. They're 17th as far as salary cap.
And you lose Gasol after this year.
Okay.
It's possible.
Yeah.
You know what else is possible? You guys will hang around for another hour because it's been fun, the first two. So we've got 60 minutes on the clock when we come back. Final hour of The Usual Suspects, doing it all right here on ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.